2018, isn't it? 2008. Well, it's not now. It's not 2000. It's 2017 now because I'm recording this. It's 6:30, New Year's Eve, and I'm recording this to go out. So this is the first of the shows that's going to go out in the new year. If you listen to this straight away, it's 1 minute past midnight. So what a show! It's kind of done. I'm just putting it together now. So I haven't got my pop shield up. I'll explain later on why and why some of the technical. Why I've had some technical issues. I won't go into the big reasons why. Mainly, it's all to do with the sanding of my desk. I've sanded my desk in my office. I'm rubbing my hands on it because it's beautifully painted with varnish and stuff. It may feature in a later podcast. Sorry, there's no pop shield. I can't help the popping, apart from moving away. It's a great track, this, isn't it? Glenn Maltman. This is Man-Made Star, it's called. So what have I got on the show? I hear you asking yourself on this new show, Nick, 2018. The first of what I'm trying to do is to record a podcast or get a podcast out to you every Monday this year. And so this is the first one. I like this bit. Yeah, cha-cha-cha-cha. And so I've actually got two interviews for you this week. First of all, I'm going to play you what I recorded this morning with Maud the Moth, otherwise known as Amaya Lopez. I was going to try and say that really quickly to make myself sound flash. In the end, making myself look foolish. So it's kind of cobbled together because of my desk thing where I do everything, and everything was unplugged and I had to plug everything in and I got up late and stuff. You don't want to hear all this, really, I'm sure. But I just want to give you a little bit of a background. And so I'll play that interview in a moment. And I've got another interview with from someone else. I can't remember who they are. They did a great song called Jets. Oh yeah, the British IBM. But I'll do that in a bit. So let me play some music first of all to get us started. So the first track I'm going to play of 19. No, not 19. Sorry, it's not 19 anymore, is it? It's 2018. It's going to be The Great Fuss. A band called The Great Fuss with Set Yourself Right. This is a great tune from an amazing Canadian band that sent me a track earlier on this year. Well, 27, all this year stuff is going to be boring, isn't it? Anyway, let me play the track. This is a band called The Great Fuss, and this is a song called Set Yourself Right, and it's gorgeous.
Surprise! This dream that's meant to be, but that don't mean it's got a hold on me. Do you keep the receipt you stole from the sun? Now I'm all alone as you bleed as one. It's to the moment of the silver sun. There stands a man who's out on a run, shaking them shivers inside of his bones, 'cause that's all he's ever known.
Awesome. Yeah, that was Jay Ebby East and a track called City Skies, which followed on from The Great Fuss and Set Yourself Right. That's great. I really like that Great Fuss song. It puts me in mind of some different things. I'm not going to do that this year. I'm not going to say, oh, I think this sounds like so-and-so, because we all sound like someone, for crying out loud. And afterwards was Jay Ebby East, as I said, and City Skies. So earlier on today, I did an interview with Maud the Moth. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, there's a few technical things I'm going to need to get ironed out with these interviews. My cameras seem to work all right, but I think they'll improve as we go along. So the sound's not fantastic. It's a bit hissy. It's a bit, it's a bit internet-y and stuff. So forgive me for that. But it's quite interesting talking to her. I kind of did some stuff with her before. I used to put on shows a few years ago, and she's played at a couple. Well, no, she played at one of the shows I did at the railway in Winchester. And we used to chat quite a lot on Facebook and that sort of thing. But she's moved up to, she used to live in, she'll tell you all about this. Anyway, look, this is the interview. I say hello. I feel like I should say aha, but I'm not. Because I've seen a lot of, I've seen this Christmas. It's been a Christmas time, isn't it? So I'm talking to Amaya Lopez, who's also known as Maud the Moth. So good morning. Oh, it's just afternoon now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, whatever time, in undetermined time of the day. Morning for me, so.
Yeah, it's a bit of a crazy, we've had a bit of a crazy time because I've had a bit of some technical things happening, and I've only just got up and I haven't had breakfast yet, and only on my second cup of coffee, which is gone. So, have you had a good year?
Yeah, you can call it a good year. I don't know, I think it's a bit over optimistic to say that a year is a good year or a bad year. Well, obviously if you say it's a bad year, it's not optimistic, but you know what I mean, there's good things and bad things, and it's been a pretty intense year, let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, and so whereabouts are you living at the moment?
I'm living in Edinburgh.
Yeah, how do you find it?
Cool, very cold. It's a great place to live in. There's loads of stuff happening culturally. As a Spanish person, it's kind of
Sorry about that. If you have to say that again, your track just...
I can't wait to play it.
I can't wait to play it. I had it muted, you see, and then I unmuted it,
to test the speakers out and things. It's all a bit crazy. We're both still in our pyjamas, aren't we?
It's okay. Yeah, we are.
So we can be forgiven. So, sorry, you were just saying before the music started.
So Edinburgh. Yeah, it's great to live here. Like, cultural environment is just great. I just really, really loving it. I guess it's hard to live here when, you know, you're not used to the weather and the lifestyle in general. It's like takes a while to get used to. But yeah, overall, it's been really, really great. I'm really loving it.
So how long have you been there?
So it's going to be 4 years in February.
Wow.
So, yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah. So what are the best three things about living in Edinburgh?
Rally and Broad, now Flint and Pitch. So these girls, actually the one that stayed is Jenny, but it was started by Rachel McCrum and Jenny Lindsay, and these two girls are like, they have a poetry night, a variety night, so I just met them randomly, and they've been booking me for the last 3 years, and they've just given me like all these amazing chances to perform in great places. Like last gig we played was at the Lyceum. Well, actually, no, last gig we played was at the Bongo, but the one before that one was at the Lyceum. It's like this Victorian theater, and it's just amazing. Like they just get access to all of these venues, and they just put up this amazing gigs, like with all sorts of spoken word and other acts that it's just been really, really inspiring to every time you perform. It's not just the performance in itself, but all the stuff you randomly get to see or be part of. They also recommended, well, through them, I also met Caroline Bird, who's this amazing poet, and I was at a writing course with her as well in the Highlands. And yeah, so they're meeting these people definitely in the top five, definitely.
excellent. So
I would say the Fringe is another good thing, but it's definitely not a good thing when you live here and you just want to kill everybody for a month. Yeah, I don't know, like there's lots of awesome things. I happen to live just in front of the Festival Theatre as well, so the other day I just went to the opera, like literally like just less than 5 minutes. It was like 20 meters from my house. It was like just went to see some theatre stuff and then just go back home. Everything's like really close.
Excellent, that's cool. So I've been playing lots of tracks from your, is it an EP or is it a proper?
Yeah, it's an EP.
The tracks are quite long, but they are gorgeous. And I was saying to you earlier on, I think it is actually your best work. And do you think that's because of the environment you're living in?
Well, although those songs are actually not new, some of them I started writing when I was in Southampton, actually. And they're actually included in my second full length, which is called The Inner Wastelands. And the thing is, while I wrote that album and just when I recorded it, I was in a period where I was moving around a lot. So I started writing it in Madrid, then I moved to Southampton, and then I moved to Edinburgh. So it's really, really hard for me to have like a proper band. And because the songs were like already fully formed and I really, really wanted to get the album out and all the songs recorded, I went to Gothenburg and I recorded there with Crispin. So I recorded the songs in a kind of more of a minimalist way, like a more of like introverted approach, I don't know. I recorded with some musicians from there who were like amazing, but it is true that I had this idea in my head of making it like more progressive and a bit more like baroque pop style that maybe the EP came out looking like or sounding like. So after I moved to Edinburgh, I met the violin player who recorded that album, Shimon, and he introduced me to Paul. And then we started playing and I just really, really loved the arrangements and the sound. That's the idea that I had in my mind initially for the album. So I just wanted to record something that would capture that thing, that sound that we actually achieved, the three of us together. So that's why I did that live EP. And I wanted as well to make it live, because it was kind of like, it was part of the magic of the three of us playing together, that like we just have like a really good musical chemistry. So we just did it like, we just did a live session. I would have liked to do more songs, but you know, it was kind of limited. I overestimated my energy for the day. I was like, oh yeah, we'll just go into the studio and like sound check and then make a video. And like, it's like, of course, no choreography, like no art director, nothing. I was just there, like, you know, my megalomany of like, oh, I'll do everything, kind of like Tommy Wiseau style, you know, like write, produced, written, produced, acted, and like you do the catering as well.
Because the production is actually quite phenomenal on the live tracks. On the live album, it sounds like it's, to me, when I heard it, it sounded like it was recorded in a theatre.
It is. It was recorded in a music hall. Reed concert hall in Edinburgh, where they do lots of mostly chamber music.
Oh right, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's got like this all this medieval organ as well that I wanted to use in one of the tracks, but of course it was like a bit too much. But yeah, it was recorded actually by a music student from here, by Thomas Schemmeld. And so it was professionally recorded, and then we just did a couple of takes of each song, and then it was mixed by Crispin in Gothenburg, who's the guy who mixed my second album, and he's a sound engineer for Little Dragon. I don't know if you know them, they're a quite famous band. And so this guy's amazing. Apart from a good friend, he's like a really, really good sound engineer. So he makes the tracks and he mastered them. So I mean, it is just, no, you know, like, it's not just like we just popped into some rehearsal room and we just like threw a Zoom recorder in there. There was some work behind it, but yeah, I think it still like captures that vibe of the live recording and like how we are reacting to each other's. Playing in the moment, like each of the takes were different, which made editing like almost impossible.
Yeah,
possible. So
fantastic. So what's next?
Yeah. So next, I am working on a third album now. Mostly with Paul. Shimon's involved a bit, but he's moved to London, so we're kind of like a bit of like a abandoned. We've been abandoned in the string department. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's like still working with Shimon on and off, there's another violin player from Madrid that I'm now working with, and mostly Paul and I are just like getting some songs together, and we haven't been playing a lot lately, mostly because I'm focusing on writing this stuff and we're focused on demoing it. But also because I came here to do a PhD and I'm handing my thesis in 2 months. So wow. I am on the verge of having a heart attack right now.
Okay, cool.
So, but yeah, that's demoing some songs at the moment. We're figuring out what we're going to do production wise. And yeah, it's going to be, I think, a bit in the line of this last EP. Probably more progressive still and probably even darker. There's lots of like synths as well, synth arrangements.
Cool. Well, that's the sort of like I said earlier. I think it's your best work. So I think it's a good. It's certainly for me. It's a really good avenue for you to be going ahead with.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
It's true. It's true. You haven't got to thank me. That's just a decent opinion. And you could the recording that you sent me. Can people buy it?
Sorry.
Can people buy it? The EP. Where can they buy it from?
Yeah. So they can go to the Bandcamp, where it's available digitally.
Okay.
And we've made some very, very limited copies. The artwork is by an Italian illustrator called Anna Frigatti.
Cool.
And I had some ideas that I wanted to use from like a picture I took from in Oporto. It's like a door knocker. And so I just wanted her to redo the thing into something like kind of like, I would say trippy, but it's not really the right word. More like fairy tale-y,
yep,
but
I
like creepy fairy tale-y thing.
Yeah, sure.
So, Yeah,
well, look, when the podcast goes out, and obviously it's going to go out now, people are listening to it. If you can go into the comments section and you can put all the links into the comments section, so when people visit the website, it's there and it's there forever. So you haven't got to worry about doing it. You can just link to it after that. So I may all just put all those things in. We can go and click on it, etc., etc. So I'm just about to play the track. So before we play the track, I'd just like to ask you a few questions, and I've given you a bit of a heads up on this. I don't know if I'm going to do that in the future, but I thought I'd give you a bit of a heads up because I needed to do some other things while I was giving you the heads up on this. So just a few quick questions. It's a quick fire sort of thing. So the first thing that comes into your head, and this is what happened. So what was the best gig that you've done in the last 3 months?
So I've only done one gig in the last 3 months because I haven't been playing very much.
Okay.
So yeah, it was another Flint and Pitch at the Bongo.
Okay. And so what was your last memorable gig? The gig that you just thought, whoa.
I mean, every time I play for these guys, it's amazing. I guess like the more wow one was the one at the Lyceum, which was maybe six, seven, 8 months ago.
Okay.
Actually, in that same week, we played Hidden Door, which was unbelievable as well. It was completely packed. There was for our session, it was sold out.
Cool.
And we played.
This is meant to be a fast paced thing. Hang on a sec. Let's get it going. And also, what's the best CD that you've bought recently?
So for me, one of the best albums of the year and definitely best CD I've owned, it's the Last Grails album.
Okay. And what's it called?
I just love that band very, very much.
Okay. So you can link to those on the comments as well if you want. Lessons learned. Lessons learned recently. You go, I won't do that again, or I must do this.
I found out that actually procrastinating isn't that bad.
Excellent. What radio stations did you listen to?
The last one I listened to was KXP. I fucking love KXP.
Yeah? Okay, where's that?
Sorry?
Where is that based?
Seattle.
Okay.
They do live music sessions for like up and coming bands, and they're just really
great. Excellent.
All
right, so what do you wake up to when you got an alarm?
Some crappy Samsung.
Okay.
I fucking hate.
Okay, so what's your best?
Nice, that I want to stay in bed too.
Okay, so what's your new discovery? What have you discovered recently that you thought, oh wow, what's this?
Gardening.
Gardening.
Gardening. It's such a challenge in Edinburgh, you know, and I quite like a challenge. So.
Okay. What do you miss most today?
My cat. In Spain.
Okay.
She's very small.
Aww.
Well, she's very old, but she's very tiny.
Anyway. I've got a very old tiny cat as well. So what's your favourite bit of kit, musical kit, when you go to gig, when you go out?
Kit.
Yeah. What's your favourite bit of musical equipment?
Loopers. Fucking love loopers.
Yeah? What's your favourite one?
So I had a boomerang, but I couldn't get round to using it because it's for guitar players. If you're a guitar player, get a boomerang. For anyone who can use their hands, I have like a Boss 505 at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a pedal to go with it. And
okay.
It's awesome. Love the effect in it as well. It's got some built-in effects. Really, really cool.
Okay. And what do you never travel without?
I should never travel without a plug adapter, but I seem to be forgetting fucking plug adapters the last 7 times I've traveled, so I would
okay.
say I should never travel without a plug adapter.
Okay. What's the best thing that you can cook?
Baked potatoes? Baked potatoes.
Really? Okay.
A vegan version of sobrasada, which is like some spreadable tree, the kind of thing.
Okay. I was going to say a vegetable version of baked potatoes.
I'll put the link to that as well.
Okay, you can do that. What's your top tip? Let me tell you what my top tip is, okay? You a bit of an idea. My top tip, which I learned off the internet, is if you want to keep carrots crunchy, wrap them in tin foil, put them in the fridge, and they'll stay crunchy for literally weeks and weeks and weeks. Okay, that's my top tip. So what's your top tip?
Probably a very lame one. I probably don't trust people who give you advice.
Okay, but that could be you. Let's give you, never mind.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it gets into a pretty recurrent situation.
Okay. So, and the last question is, what's your favorite game that you play?
Oh, shit. Yeah, I discovered this completely clusterfuck of a game called Octodad.
Octodad. Okay.
Yeah, it's just despairingly great.
Okay.
It's just like a I don't know, like analogy of life in itself. The impossibility to just move the character, it just doesn't, the commands just don't work. There's like some better version of some guys who did it, like this game, nothing works, everything's glitchy.
Okay.
It's just great.
Excellent. All right, then, mate. This has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you very much. Hopefully we can catch up with you again later on in the year or the next. See, we're in the past now. We're in 2017 still, but this will be going out in 2018. So we're sort of like going over things. We'll catch up soon. Anyone that wants to catch up with More Than Moth stuff, there'll be links. You'll put links on the comment section. Thanks very much indeed. And Vic,
thanks so much, Nick.
That's okay. Can you just introduce a track for me?
Okay, cool. Yeah, so the song's called Crossbows, and it talks about wastelands.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot, Maud.
Tall tales will be the end of we. Tall heads in spikes are full of blood. Light the way a little further. Cold girls crouch down on the ventilation grills. Insect souls with real pressing needs. Waves and bonfires, two street lights light up your pride as a damp cigarette butter. Thank you.
Hey, this is Pro from Good Weather. I just wanted to give a big thank you to Nick for playing our song on This Thing On podcast.
No, is This Thing On.
Hey, this is Pro from Good Weather. I just wanted to give a big thank you to Nick for playing our music on Is This Thing On podcast.
Yeah, that's better.
The snow flurries, but no hurry, that sight is something I'm staring at. Knowing when you're ready, it's easy for you to clear them back and bring the blue alive. Knew as soon as you arrived. Hey, Miss Warren, that's your sun peeking through the sky to warm us up and let us know he's still shining bright and still at our side. Anytime we need to find the light, but where you hide at night, probably where the music is. Digging in the moon craters, helping it to move a bit. Our mood will switch, fade it out when the day's breaking and the birds chirping. We heard it and thought the same phrases. Good weather, sun is bright, it'll be alright. Stick together, we can fight for what we need in life. Look for sun rays, some days the sun's here. If it's not, I know it's gotta be somewhere.
Somewhere the sun is shining through the clouds and glowing pink at night, over the mountains, whole scene looking out of sight. I know you're out of sight, just over those satellites, enjoying the same view, writing raps about it, right? Living in parallel, still giving out advice, like don't wait for sunshine, enjoy every ounce of life. Travel to places only if you can't pronounce it right. Bud Lights in flight, time flies, so slow it down. My daughter sees gray skies as great news, running to chain shoes, into her rain boots. Jumping in puddles, having more fun than Nate Ruse. To her I say thank you, new slant on the same truth. Don't need to make loot, I need to make time to find a great loop and connect a great rhyme. Find your peace, let storms turn to rain shine. I'm done waiting, it's time I create mine.
Somewhere the sun is shining through the clouds and
What a track. What a track. Yeah, that was Good Weather and Somewhere Shiny and featuring JB, which seems to be a very important thing to put down, isn't it? When people do like that kind of rapping stuff. Kind of that rapping hip-hoppity thing. You have to have the feature thing. Anyway, it features JB. So there you go. And I love that track very, very much, as I love all the tracks that I play on the podcast. So if you haven't heard the show before, this is what I do. I get tracks sent to me. I don't know where they come from. They just get emailed to me. Oh, hang on a minute.
Mummy.
Yes, dear.
I've been writing some wonderful songs of my own.
Have you, dear?
Yes. And now I want to send them to Nick Tan's fantastic podcast, Is This Thing On? Can I, Mummy? Please, please, please?
Yes, dear.
But, Mummy, how do I send them? How? How? How?
V
First, make sure that your name is part of the file name of the MP3.
It is, Mummy. It is. I've done that.
Good. Then, just attach no more than 2 to an email with details of your website, just one website, and send it to isthisthingonpodcast@gmail.com.
Where, Mummy?
isthisthingonpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, thank you, Mummy. You're the bestest mummy that ever was.
Yeah, that's how it happens. They email me stuff. And then I choose the best or what I fancy playing each week. And then I play it on the show. Sometimes it's new stuff. Sometimes it's old stuff. I've been doing this show for 10 years now. So some of it can be, well, 10 years old, really. And that's what I do. I've started to do these interviews. Other things will creep in. And hopefully the technical stuff will get sorted out. Now, the next interview I'm going to give you is with AD from the British IBM, which we talk about in great detail on the interview. Sorry, it came. I had other distractions. I want to get out of here. We're actually going to go out. We're going out for New Year's Eve. I don't know if we're going to stay out all night. You know, when you get a little bit older, you sort of go, well, I don't know. 12 o'clock thing. Are we going to run around snogging people? We'll probably be home by 9, I think. We'll be home by 9. Anyway, I hope you've had a lovely weekend and stuff. And so I shall play you this interview that I did with AD earlier on from British IBM. And I'll see you on the other side. And so, hello, AD. How are you?
Hello, very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. I've got a bit of a gin hangover.
And I had a gin and tonic last night as well.
Yeah?
What sort of gin? Yeah.
Pardon?
What sort of gin were you drinking?
Oh, Hendrix.
Yeah.
It's my go-to. Hendrix or Tanqueray at the moment. I can't get into that Bombay Sapphire.
No. I can't do Marty Miller's I'm into at the moment.
Ooh.
That's nice. Nice with a bit of cucumber.
Cucumber?
Yeah.
That's interesting. See, I really like... My wife hates cucumber, so I would say she doesn't have it in the house, but she does have it anyway. So I'm about to play your track later on soon, which is called Jet Set Willy. And I just, when I first heard saw the track, I thought, okay. And then I listened to it, and obviously I love it because I only play stuff that I like. I do actually get sent quite a lot of stuff. I probably get sent about 15, 20 tracks a week, and I do listen to them all, not all the way through because that would be really awful. But I really like your track, and I went to your website and had a look at what you're about. So if you can you just give us a little bit of a sort of potted history of British IBM?
2012. Just before 2012, I saw a film called Micromen and got a little bit obsessed with it. And there was a line of dialogue in the film. It's the BBC dramatisation of the rise of Acorn and Sinclair Computing. So Acorn did the BBC Micro, Sinclair made the ZX Spectrum. Love the film, and there's a line of dialogue in it when they're kind of like down and out, because Clive Sinclair and Chris Curry, who ran those two companies, kind of worked together, then they went their separate ways, ran these companies that were massive in the 80s, and then both of them also, as well as having a meteoric rise, had a meteoric fall, and Chris Curry gets in a fight with him in a pub in the Baron of Beef in Cambridge, and as they're fighting in this alleyway, he says to him, "We could have been the British IBM," and I thought it was quite a nice line of dialogue, and it kind of resonated with me a little bit, and I thought, oh, it would make a cool song. So I made the song, and then after that I was thinking, oh, wouldn't it be cool, rather than just doing like solo act stuff, actually create a band called the British IBM, where all the aesthetic is kind of vintage computing and, like, you know, 70s offices and that kind of thing. And then kind of went with that and ended up being like the British IBM, and then ended up being the name of a new band, a song and an album. And I've kind of run with that ever since.
It's such an eye-catching name. It's genius. It's a genius piece of inspiration that you've had, Abe. Excellent.
Thank you.
So what do you actually do in the band yourself? Because you started...
I write the songs. Without sounding too much like a sketch from a comedy show, I write the songs, sing the songs, So I'll basically sit at home, make demos, write some stuff, and then I'll go out with the, go to the rest of the band, and then we sit in a rehearsal room and then work out how to play it live, and play it live and bits and pieces will end up sounding better than other bits, and we, just like a proper band, then go into the studio periodically and record stuff.
Cool. So whereabouts are you based?
Cambridge.
Do you gig around, in and around Cambridge?
Yeah, we do a lot of bit. Like, we used to gig loads. We've kind of like been a little bit quiet this year. We sort of like towards the end of the year, I kind of started bringing the band out of hibernation again, because I had that song Jet Set Willy. And I was thinking, rather than go for like a full blown album, like straight off the bat, it'd be nice to just get something out there and get gigging again.
Yeah.
So we did the single, did a little gig at the Corner House, which is a pub in Cambridge. Then we ended the year doing the, there's a local studio called Half Ton. We did their 10-year anniversary thing towards the end of this year as well. So yeah, just gigging around Cambridge at the moment. And then before that, though, we've kind of gigged everywhere, done a lot of stuff up north. So we've played Liverpool this year as well, did a little acoustics up there.
Nice. So what is the setup of the band?
Is either, I always say it's a bit when they book us, it's either you'll get just me on my own with an acoustic guitar. If you're really lucky, then you'll get the rest of the band there available as well. But at the moment, it's becoming full band a lot of the time now. So we've got like me on guitar and vocals, Dave who does bass and backing vocals, and now we've got a brand new drummer called Scott, who plays drums.
Excellent. Yeah, it's quite a mad thing, isn't it, when you go out and you do go from doing the solo acoustic thing to actually having some other people around you. I've been doing the same thing myself this year, and it is a different aesthetic. I find myself, I don't know about you, but I find myself forgetting the words a lot of the time.
If you do it on your own?
Well, when I do it on my own, I've kind of got it, and when I'm playing with the band, I suddenly hear, I go, oh, that's a nice bit of bass. And I go, I actually want to sit back and listen to it as opposed to be part of it. I forget I'm playing.
You can make stuff up as well. If you're playing on your own.
Yeah.
You can kind of like, you can go, I've forgotten the next bit. I'll just play this chord for a bit longer. And you don't have that freedom when you're playing with a full band. You have to go into the chorus when everyone's going to the chord.
So yeah, it is quite interesting. And also, not playing as much guitar as I usually do.
Yeah.
Because you sort of try and keep a little bit of that. Not so much the rhythm. But you sort of try. You've got all those voices in your head that you're kind of playing out through your instrument and through your voice.
Yeah.
And when some of those instruments are there, it's kind of like, I find it's almost like a little void that I think, oh, I could play a little bit there. And go, oh no, let's just play with this now to this gig that we're doing now.
There's almost like another bit of your memory that you're using. I find if you're playing live. It's like something that I don't really understand where it comes from, but it's kind of like you play it enough that it kind of gets built into some other part of your brain, like the song, so you know it off by heart. But it's almost like the moment you think about it, you think, oh, what word comes next? You kind of forget what word comes next. It's almost like, you know, I have to switch off and stare into the middle distance when I'm doing it.
So what sort of places have you been playing this year?
Portland Arms in Cambridge, that's our main sort of like venue for original Windy stuff. Did the Corner House. We did a place in Liverpool. I forget the name now. Renshaw. I think it's a number like 86 Renshaw, which apparently is where the Beatles fanzine was made back in the day. Played there. I did. Where else have we done? We've done a few places. I can't think off the top of my head, but yeah, a few places up north. A few Cambridge gigs. But yeah, it's been good.
Excellent.
Looking forward to doing more next year.
Yeah, excellent. So have you got anything planned for next year? Anything already in the pipeline?
We're going to play, there's a video game expo called the Revival Expo, and we're going to play that next year.
Excellent. So how long has this love of retro games been? And I'm kind of guessing that it's from before they were actually called retro. They were just like, you were just into this, you've always been into this, and now it's kind of like a retro thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I've just always been into gaming. There was a period where, I think when I got into retro gaming was like when the Sony PlayStation, there was like a period of time where I couldn't get into modern games. So it's like I always had like a Master System, Mega Drive, and had that kind of stuff. I had a BBC Micro, all these other computers growing up. And then once we got into kind of like the early 3D stuff, I thought it was a bit naff. Like I didn't, there was nothing I really liked on the PlayStation, PlayStation 2, Xbox. And there's kind of like a period where I stopped gaming, and all I was doing was just playing old games. And then that became the scene. So now it's like the whole retro thing. There's expos, there's, you know, there's podcasts, YouTube channels, everyone's, it seems like everyone's been to retro now.
Yeah, I kind of did this similar thing myself, because I was into it, but I kind of got my brother's, my younger brother's hand-me-downs when it came to games. So I got, when he got the Mega Drive when he moved on to the next one. And so I got into the Mega Drive, and then similar to you, when the PlayStation came along, I was like, okay, it kind of looks okay, but there's not much of a game going on. It seems to be all like, look at this, you can do this and you can do that. But it's like, well, yeah, but where's the game? Where's the fun gone? The fun seems to have disappeared.
It just didn't seem like it was good. I didn't enjoy it. It just didn't look good. And it just didn't, for me personally, I know loads of people disagree, but I wasn't into it. But it was only when we got to like the later half of the Xbox 360 that I got into modern gaming again. All of a sudden, I was playing stuff like Bioshock and Far Cry and thinking, 3D gaming's good now, I'm into this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I wasn't into it for a long time, like the new stuff.
No. See, Toe Jam and Earl was my favourite.
That's good. Which one, the Mega Drive?
Yeah. What a game. Being chased by a dentist, a mad dentist with a, you know.
That was good.
That's a brilliant nice game.
That was a great game. I love that game.
But I tell you what's really nice, you were talking about YouTube channels. You can actually, you know, go onto YouTube and watch somebody playing that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done that a few times.
It is, you do it, but you kind of feel a little bit like you've eaten a whole bag of you've eaten a whole packet of Tim Tams or something.
It's a proper little rabbit hole, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely. And I've just actually, one of my favourite games of all time is Oddworld. And
yeah, oh, Abe's Odyssey.
Yeah, Abe's Odyssey, and onwards. And they've just come out literally in the last 2 weeks. I've just bought it for iPad, nice and tasty, which is it's just a beautiful game.
Yeah, stunning as well, isn't it? The lighting effects in the background,
oh,
and the way
all that attention to detail, and when you're not actually shooting people, which is really nice. I quite like that. And what else have I used to play? Yes, a game called Siphon Filter, which no one else seemed to have heard of.
No, I've not heard of that.
It came out at the same time as Metal Gear Solid, and I think people kind of got into Metal Gear Solid and was like, oh yeah, this is the game. But Siphon Filter was a good one. A similar sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, what's that one?
That was on PlayStation.
Okay.
That's a good game. You can be a snot. I'm getting a bit nerdy here, aren't I?
Yeah.
I can feel five people just switching off now. Should we go back and talk about the music again? So I won't ask you to describe your music, because I think that's generally a dreadful thing. It's one of the, when I see that when you're applying for festivals and gigs and they go, what kind of music do you play? I kind of break out in a cold sweat and go, I don't know. It's just kind of music, isn't it?
Most bands have got like a little elevator pitch, like a little kind of like one sentence where describing a band they can do, but it doesn't really mean much to anyone.
Yeah.
We've got a few like one-liners we can use to describe it. And the other question is like, who are your influences? And the amount of times that I've had to answer that question, but I'm thinking, no, I can't imagine anyone cares who I listen to.
No. It seems like, I think the thing is that people seem to think that you really need to tie it to something. And in a way, I suppose they're right. I mean, I've actually seen people read some of my old flyers where it's got descriptions of what I've put in. I'm going, oh, it sounds a bit like that, does it? And it's like, yeah. Do you say people do really need that sometimes? But, you know, that's the thing about these podcasts. People say, oh, honestly, I get, when people send me stuff, you can tell people that haven't read the instructions on the website, because I get pages and pages of descriptions of this band and who said what. And I was like, I really don't care.
Yeah.
That people, and I've got some this the last couple of weeks where people have read the instructions. They go, the name of this band is this. This is the track. This is the website. I was like, thank you. I can make up my own mind if I like this track or not. Not just because it's been played on this and played on that. I mean, I love Radio 6, but sometimes I think they play some shit stuff. They play some great stuff, but also I just think, oh, what is this? So yeah, that doesn't do it for me. But what sort of stuff do you like listening to?
Okay.
In the last week, what have you chosen to put on?
At the moment, new music wise, my two two go-to bands at the moment. American Wrestlers,
mm-hmm.
love them, and The War on Drugs.
Right, okay.
I think they're superb. I think they're a brilliant band.
So how did you hear of them?
I do this thing where what I kind of do in my downtime, I'm getting a bit lapsed on it now, is I go through Metacritic, and I just literally just go through Metacritic and go through the album's releases each week, and I'll just copy and paste them into Spotify. If they're on Spotify, most need now 99% of them are, and I'll just have a skim through the album, and if I like something, I'll chuck it on a playlist, and then it's like, and then I'll listen to that playlist on repeat, like the stuff that I found that week that I like, and then the ones that I really like and are like standing out, then I'll go a bit further and start listening to whole albums, and then just do that thing where you're just sitting there drinking beer and watching random YouTube clips of them playing live. And there's some awesome live clips of War on Drugs and of American Wrestlers. Some great live sessions of theirs on YouTube. Cool. They've done some radio stations.
Would you consider yourself what I call a fanboy? Are you a good fan?
REM, I am. I'm like a massive, like I've been to REM since I was like 16 years old. Proper fanboy with them.
Cool. Excellent. All right. So what I'm going to ask you is some quickfire questions, as we spoke about earlier on. And then I'd like to introduce a track, if that's okay with you.
Nice. Okay.
Cool. Okay. So the best gig that you've done in the last 3 months?
I would say, actually, yeah, we'll go with the 10-year anniversary gig for Half Time Studios.
Cool. Okay. And what's your last memorable gig? Now, it might not necessarily be the same as the best gig. It might be memorable because it was like everyone passed out and no one turned up.
Vegas. I played Vegas a couple of years ago. And that was memorable just because I got to say that I've played Vegas. I did a little residency at a game expo there.
Excellent. Okay. The best CD that you've bought recently?
The best CD I've bought recently...
Yeah, or listened to, or someone's given you a gig, or whatever.
I'd say probably the latest War on Drugs album.
Cool, okay. What lessons have you learnt recently?
What have I learnt?
You can leave it if you want. You can pass
I can think. I can think of something. I've learned how to program some Swift. There you go.
Cool. Okay. What's the most memorable support act that you've had recently?
Supporting us.
Or supporting you, or on the same bill?
On the same bill. Do you know the British Public? They were really good, and they played with us at that 10-year anniversary gig. So they're a great little band. They're called, and also they've got a name that's one word away from our name.
Yeah. Very good. What radio stations do you listen to?
I don't really listen to radio stations that much. More podcasts and playlists.
What podcasts do you enjoy? It sounds like a job interview now. Did you notice I used new words then instead of saying the same words?
It's good. Retro Gaming Roundup. Uh-huh. That's one of my favourite podcasts.
Excellent. Okay. What's your new discovery? We talked about that you methodically, you're very methodical about your... The bands that you find are quite admirable. I quite admire that. So what's your newest best discovery?
In terms of bands again?
Yeah.
Isaac Gracie.
Okay.
That's another one that I've been listening to a bit recently. Fink is another one. Isaac Gracie's playing in Cambridge soon as well, so I've booked tickets to go and see him.
Fantastic. And what do you miss most today?
What do I miss most?
Just today.
Today... I miss sunshine.
Do you know what? I was thinking exactly
hot weather.
Yeah. What's your favourite bit of kit when you go out gigging?
My favourite bit of kit is probably I like my Fender Jagstang. It's a guitar.
Yeah.
I don't play it as much anymore. I don't play it live because it's not a great live guitar because it's always going out of tune and it's the intonation's not great despite getting it set up a few times, but it's still my favourite guitar because it looks cool.
It does look cool, yeah. Fender Jaguar, yeah?
Jagstang. So it's half Jaguar, half Mustang.
Ooh.
Designed by Kurt Cobain. Mine's the original one from the 90s, not the reissue.
Excellent.
Oh, and it's used in the music video for What's the Frequency, Kenneth.
Cool. What did you never travel without?
Say it again?
What do you never travel without?
Toothpaste and a toothbrush.
Excellent. What's the best thing that you can cook?
Risotto. Really? Pretty handy, I'd say.
Okay, and have you got a top tip? Let me give you a little top tip that I've got. If you want to keep carrots fresh, and some of you might have heard this, if you want to keep carrots fresh, wrap them in tinfoil, put them in the fridge, and they last forever.
Yeah, right. That's a good tip. Okay, here's a tip for you. If you want to know if your eggs are rough or not, put them in a bowl of water. If they float, they're no good.
Brilliant. Do you play any of the little Facebook games?
No.
Okay. So what's your favourite game at the moment?
At the moment, I'm playing Uncharted 4. I'm enjoying that.
Excellent. Okay. And could you introduce a track for us?
This track is called Jet Set Willy. It's about someone who's picked up Jet Set Willy some 30 years since he last played it, and he's trying to complete it again now as an adult, and he's asking his friends to constantly, can you go and get me another beer, because he can't pause the game because he's playing on a BBC Micro, and he needs other people to get him beer while he's playing the game.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Aidan. You've been brilliant. Good luck with next year, man.
Cheers.
Wasn't that lovely? That was, of course, the British IBM and Jet Set Willy. And thanks to Aidy for that. That was brilliant. And so we also had Good Weather, Somewhere Shiny, The Great Fuss, Set Yourself Right, a Canadian band that opened the show, More the Moth, and track Crossbows, and her interview with her, Jade Ebby East, City Skies, and all the interviews and everything. So it was kind of okay, wasn't it? Not bad for a show, first show of the year. I'm going to finish with one of my tracks, as I always will do. Because Matt Stevens said it was okay to do it a few years ago. And he knows his onions, doesn't he? So I will speak to you all again next week. Make sure you get onto the onto the website page and have a look at the comments. It'd be interesting to know if you listened and if you enjoyed it and all that kind of stuff. I will leave you with a track from my last album with a trio, the Nick Tan Trio album, and it's a track called Safe Harbour. It's a nice, gentle little track. If you're nursing a bit of a hangover while you listen to this, it will hopefully ease your brain. And I will speak to you again next week. Bye!
This is the Posh Bird, and you have been listening to Nick Tan's Is This Thing On podcast. Fucking good, wasn't it?